Hey, kids! Parents, this is What the Kids Are Watching, a rewatch podcast for grown-ups about the weird and wild TV shows that children seem to love.
I'm Natalie Pouchet, and I'm a parent.
And I'm Ryan Bailey, and I'm probably not a parent. So we've got different perspectives as we break down, praise,
and goof on the most notable episodes of the shows your kids are currently obsessing over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Bailey.
And I'm Natalie Pouchet.
And this is
What the Kids Are Watching.
This week we have a brand new episode, a brand new show, actually, and we have an extremely special guest who I think picked the show, right?
She did.
Now, this is somebody that's actually related to you.
I would hope, according to 23andMe, yes, she's definitely related.
Is this the episode we take a DNA test?
Yes,
is this,
exactly.
So, no, we have your mom, Connie. Welcome,
yes!
Connie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I guess I want to apologize on behalf of Natalie for making you come all the way down here, but thank you.
It's a joy. It's a joy to be here, especially when it has to do with kids.
I know. So we teased on the, well, I think we talked about it on the first episode. I was like, we should have our moms on the show.
Yeah.
And we made it happen 3 episodes in.
Oh, I told my mom this past
week next.
That Connie was going to be on.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Mom, you got to be on too. Because you could tell she was bummed. She was like,
oh.
And I was like, there wasn't an audition. It wasn't like Connie beat you out. But I was like, she might beat you out. It depends on how she does, you know?
And honestly, I may or may not have asked him if his dad was single for you.
Because
he really talked up his dad. But then I found out they're still married all these years.
Like, but good news, my dad said that's still fine.
Thruples are in. Thruples are in.
So you were telling me a lot about your mom the last few times we've met, but you know, it's different meeting somebody in person.
Yes.
How would you describe to everybody at home your mother?
So my mom is just like a ball of energy. And she is, it doesn't matter what room she walks into, she just lights it up. Everyone remembers her. She just, you can't forget her.
Connie,
you
do
know?
You agree? Do you agree about
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Just ask her.
And this is that I'm talking humbly.
Yeah.
So where did you guys grew up here, right? Or in California?
I was born in Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
I came here at the age of 12. And by the way, hello, everyone. I am so happy to be here. A little nervous, but excited. And when I was, you know, a young girl here, of course, you know, I went to ESL classes, had to learn English. And I love America. And that's where I had my kids.
Well, and now you get to see your daughter have her own daughter. What has that experience been like?
Exactly. So you can imagine this is now the third generation. And I can't even say I'm first generation American, but Natalie's first generation American. Now she has Piper Rose, who's, you know, the second generation, and I am just blessed, very blessed.
Now, do you enjoy how Piper makes fun of your daughter a lot? I notice on the social media, she seems to really give your daughter a very hard time.
Yes, she does.
Does she give you a hard time?
Oh, absolutely. So when you say, when we were just introducing the show right now and you said, what the kids are watching? No. How I would like to maybe rephrase it and say watching and fighting, because just to choose a show and you have 3 siblings and they're all fighting to see what they're going to watch for a grandma to be there, you know, who do I please? Well, I know they're going to fight. So maybe I need to find and look for shows that are going to be very adequate for all of their preferences.
Well, that seems like an impossible job.
And that's how I came to this particular show.
Nina's World. Yeah.
Nina's World.
Well, I also noticed that you picked a show where the Abuelita, is kind of a hero, I feel like.
Absolutely. And not just that, the fact that I would love to see the children learning a second language.
Yeah.
Spanish or whatever their preference is. But I think a second language for sure is going to open their doors in many, many ways in America.
I love that.
So I feel bad because I always just make her watch English, like shows in English. And so she goes to my mom's and my mom's like, she's watching Nina's World. And I go, what's Nina's World? And she's like, it's about a little girl. And we're going to get into the episode. But it's about, a little Hispanic girl and, you know, uses some words in Spanish. And it's mainly in English. But but she says, you know, mommy, papi, abuelita, all these little words. And I'm like, wow, I should really be showing Piper more cartoons in Spanish because I am a terrible mother and I don't speak to her at all in Spanish. So Nina's World, I feel like, is so great for kids, you know, to just at least start that conversation.
Well, I mean, how do kids pick up on language and things like that, you know?
That's a great question. But yeah. A lot of times they didn't want to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And when every time they spoke, and I said, no entiendo. No te entiendo, especially if they wanted something that, like going to my friend's house. Como, no te entiendo. It means I don't understand. And they would have to, okay.
Oh, I hated it.
Oh, okay. Puedo ir a casa de mi amiga? Then I said, oh, I got that. Okay, then you can go.
Yes.
I love that. To go back when you were raising Natalie, what was that experience like? Do you remember anything that she was watching as a kid? I mean, what are those memories like for you?
You know, something that I haven't seen lately anymore, but they were novelas. Novelas.
Like soap opera. Yeah.
And they made multiple for children. So.
Isn't that weird?
Wait, Spanish soap operas for children?
Yes.
I mean, where they were like cheating on husbands and stuff? I mean, like.
The kids. No, it was like little kids like at school. Remember like Carrusel de Niños?
Carrusel de Niños.
And it was about like a bunch of kids at school. And like,
Quinceañera. There was this little girl was going to turn 15.
Yeah.
And her dream was this particular quinceañera party, which, you know, Hispanics, they spend thousands of dollars.
It's like a wedding. For a 15-year-old.
In a quinceañera. So.
At the sweet 16.
Did you have a quinceañera?
No. Okay. Don't bring it up. My mother will start to cry.
Oh, no. She feels
terrible.
I'm sorry. Hey, you're only 17 now. I mean, yeah, exactly. Only a year
exactly.
past.
Listen, exactly. That's going to be another beautiful episode because I'm hoping that maybe Piper, her daughter, will be my only quinceañera. Because in 4 or 5 generations, we have never had quinceañeras.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a long story.
Oh, my God. Well, that's fascinating. Like,
yeah.
So you're telling me, though, that a lot of the kids' shows were potentially telenovelas, or that actually existed.
Yes.
And it doesn't really exist that much anymore for kids.
But, yeah. But let me tell you, though, even though they had the option of choosing, you know, any channels, they were waiting the next day at the same time, all of them, for the novela.
Right. I remember that.
And they, of course, it was all in Spanish. Even though later they would speak English among themselves, but they were there ready and they understood la novela.
Well, what is that like though? Watch like that back in there, you know, when I was getting raised and stuff like that, it was only like one television and didn't have the computers and all of that stuff. And now you watch this where there's so many different screens to choose from, or even Piper is probably going to have a cell phone before the time I even had a cell phone. You know, what is your take on that?
Well, let me tell you what I've learned watching Piper, especially Piper, who's at the age of maybe 9, 10 months already. She was already browsing through the cell phones. And
she's a hacker. She's a computer hacker. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. But one thing that caught my eye is that she stopped at a couple of shows. One was from India and the other one was from probably Germany. In all children's, when you go to YouTube, you find all kinds of languages. Well, she stopped there and she always asked me for the same one, even though she couldn't understand it.
Yes.
She just went by what she visualized. And then I said, no, this girl needs to learn Spanish. And I tried with my other
You're
grunge.
Like, I will stop you from looking. Yeah. You are going, no, that's
you're
amazing.
You're not learning Chinese, you're learning Spanish today.
So if kids are really getting motivated by other languages, why can't we choose the language that they're going to need?
And yes.
This is very interesting. I have a lady who helps me, you know, with the cleaning of my apartment. And when she came one day, she goes, I am so glad when I see that you are teaching your granddaughter Spanish. And this is that I'm talking about, this little blue-eyed girl, the only one in the family that is going to potentially look like 100% Caucasian. And she needs, to me, you know, she needs to learn how to, you know, grow up in the middle of this Hispanic family. And, well, her father is a Caucasian, and of course we have others. But one thing I thought it was very important for her to grow up in learning the language. But this lady said to me, you know, I'm so happy that you're teaching your granddaughter, because I work for some doctors that are German and another lady's from Japan. And both of them have their children in Spanish schools, bilingual schools. They said that especially in California, they need to have the language.
I feel like a lot of, you know, mothers and grandmothers and, you know, families, this is something that people deal with all the time.
All
like
the
language
all
is
the time.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And it's opening doors. I mean, the Hispanic minority, it's going to be the largest in a few years. That's what my company is already making all these projections, because we're going to take over.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. Sounds like the apocalypse.
Wait, are you announcing you're running for office? What is this? Is
I remember. Like, I was dating someone that said, he was a very, very knowledgeable individual. He says, I open the newspaper and everything I see is like, I see cucarachas coming all over. And I said, why? He goes, all the Latinos are coming all over. What did he say? That? I said, he goes, and I don't mean to offend you. I'm just saying, you know how they expand and they're everywhere.
Wait, I just remembered something.
We multiply.
Yeah.
I swear to God, we're going to get to Nina's World. But didn't you? I was just remembering on social media, was it Jamie Foxx's tequila or whiskey or something you were drinking?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Sorry. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. I recorded her because I knew she was going to give me a good reaction. And sure enough, Kevin Hart reposted it because she was tasting his tequila and loved it and was like, I'm Mexican. And I'll tell you, I've tried my tequilas.
And Kevin Hart has a tequila and you tasted it. And then Kevin Hart reposted
it. Kevin Hart, yep. Only because I said, I think the magic thing, you know, we usually have lime and salt. This particular tequila does not require lime or salt.
How is that possible?
It's actually very good.
Absolutely awesome.
So now you and Kevin Hart are like
buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Honey, we're buddy buddies now.
That's great. Yeah. Natalie was like, I can't get Kevin Hart to repost me forever.
Like, throw my mom on my Instagram.
And
there you go.
Did you see Kevin Hart now has a tortilla challenge? In the tortilla challenge,
you better start making videos.
You're supposed to slap
people in the face.
But he has something in his mouth, and I know it was water.
Everyone's doing it, Mom, not just him.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. It's like a viral challenge.
Well, let's start our first one.
A TikTok challenge?
Yeah. We may have to do that after this.
Children's challenge.
Wait, you were going to slap children with tortillas?
Well, seems a little racial.
Hey, teach them young, you know, like they do. When they learn languages easier, they can take pain.
I'm pretty sure I've been hit with a tortilla as a kid.
I'm sure your own daughter's hitting you with tortillas. It seems
what?
Like
I'm scared of children now. I'd say let's just stick to the TV show.
Oh my God.
Okay, so a little bit of background on Nina's World. What is the background on this show?
So Nina's World is a cartoon about the early life of Nina, a six-year-old living in Chicago. Nina's especially close with her super cool, kick-ass, totally spry grandma, voiced by the legendary Rita Moreno of West Side Story and so many more.
So the super cool, kick-ass, totally spry grandma, that's why I found it hysterical that Connie picked this because it revolves around a kick-ass
exactly.
grandma. I feel like. And wait,
my mom's not a narcissist at all.
No, I get it. And am I saying that correctly? Abuelita?
Abuelita.
Abuelita.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And Rita Moreno, my dad was in love with her my dad's like the biggest, like, he's like a sports dude, but then for some reason, West Side Story and Sound of Music are like two musicals he plays all the time.
Obsessed
and he had like the biggest crush on Rita Moreno. I mean, what a legend. I think she's actually in her 90s.
She's 90.
And she just got nominated for an Oscar for the updated West Side Story this past year.
It's incredible.
Yes.
I mean, you would listen to her voice, you would never think she's 90.
Yeah, no, I mean, my friend was one of the actors on that reboot of One Day at a Time on Netflix.
Yeah.
And she played the abuelita on that. And she was just running around making jokes. I mean, just like consummate professionals. I mean, just shocked that she was that of that age.
Yeah. And if anyone is interested, there's a biography of her.
Yeah.
A documentary.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's a great one.
And she's a legend. So she voices the abuelita.
It's really cool, though. I mean, I love that. I've never seen where like a grandparent is almost like the superhero for a kid in any like cartoon.
Which is, I'm glad that you do see this, though, because even speaking from my mom and dad, they half raise my niece and nephew. It truly takes a village, and let's give the grandparents some shine, you know?
I wonder if this is a cultural thing, though. Is it because a lot of like Latinos, like they live with their entire family, and like a grandma normally is one to like raise the kids?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I remember I was raised in Kansas, and I didn't have my grandparents around me. They, you know, we had moved to a different state, but now, I mean, it's, you know, my sister lives close to my parents, and they're just in each other's life every day.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine having a kid and not having help from my family these days.
Because I feel like my mom is the real life abuelita.
Yeah.
You know, like she's the one teaching, you know, Piper lessons of life and telling her stories. And I mean, she's much more animated than the abuelita in the show. But I feel like my mom plays that same kind of role.
Do you feel that way?
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I sure do.
And not just that, the fact that you love your grandchildren like they're your, you know,
yeah,
your love, the love of your lives. So what happens then? You are now more patient with them than you were with your children because you learn lessons. Now that they are grown ups, they're telling me all the things that I did wrong. So I'm trying now. I'm trying to correct it, but now I'm overdoing it because I'm giving them too much sweetness. And the fact that you have the experience of the things that you believe that they're going to need, or even just potty training.
Yeah, but
just potty training. I mean, they leave me the
another
kid.
Thing my parents did not teach me to do. I still don't know how to sit still, on a toilet.
Yeah, I know. I think you're leaking a little bit.
Right? I thought that was appropriate. I just wear diapers now.
I mean, the fact that we have to teach another human to use the restroom. I mean,
it's wild.
It's wild. Like I'm in the thick of it right now, and it's just like, man.
Well, I remember the potty training. It was like if I sat on the little test toilet or whatever it was, I got this little motorcycle toy.
Yeah,
and I remember like they literally like.
Do you
held
still get it now? Like, if do I need to bring a motorcycle toy?
Right. The only way I can go to the bathroom now is if I look at that motorcycle toy. No, but it was like that. It's like bribing your kid to go to sit down on a toilet.
I know. I have to give her like a jelly bean every time.
But what if it like how close? I mean, I always think about this because I don't have kids. Like. Is there a point you give up and you're like, I guess my kid's not going to learn how to go to the bathroom because he just can't seem
to get
it?
That was me. Yes, that was me. I was like, and every you put it on social media and everyone's like, they're not going to walk down the aisle in a diaper. They're fine. Like, just they may take them a little bit longer, but it's okay. Like, they will figure it out eventually. And I'm like, I really hope so because she's like pooping on me. She's peeing everywhere. It's like, it's very messy. It's not pretty.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. This is like the not glamorous part of, I would imagine, child rearing in any way.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would get scared that I would raise the daughter that would walk down the aisle in
with
diapers
a diaper. Yeah,
stuff.
I always say that. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's
so
good.
Are you saying, can Natalie use the bathroom herself? Did you teach her to?
this
is
daughter?
She potty trained?
Yeah, potty trained.
She spoils sometimes.
Depends how many tequilas
when she drinks too much tequila. Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Hart. All right.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I've taught a lot of my grandkids to walk, to go to the bathroom, and in a very happy way. A lot of it is singing or... for example, look, my other grandson, he loved to go and sit down, and I had a little bell. It was the first time my daughter left for 3 days. When she came back, he was trained. He had a little bell right by the little, you know, toilet, and every time he went pee, he would ring the bell. And after he rang the bell, he gets like a little candy. So he couldn't wait to ring the bell.
Why haven't we done that with Piper?
Because she's a female.
Why? What's the difference?
Wait, are females not supposed to ring bells? We need to fight for the right of women to ring bells in this country.
No. Yeah. To Piper, I had to bribe her. I'm going to give you the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
If you go pee-pee, I'll give you the cell phone.
Here's
right
an
here.
iPad.
By the way,
yeah.
She pees standing up because she sees boys pee standing. So it gets everywhere. I'm like, no. Boys stand up. Girls, you have to sit down. So she's like literally like... like just trying to hold something that's not there. And I'm like, okay.
You're teaching her to dig holes in the backyard and stuff. So this this show actually, it was in 2018. There are only two seasons of it. And it's kind of like a takeoff, I guess, of Dora the Explorer. The notes say without the child, an abandonment or a plethora of anthropomorphic items. Nina, the lead, totes around a star with her everywhere. I guess it's like a stuffed animal, if you will, but it's talking. It's a living pal to her, which you see in a lot of children's shows. Now, this was a part of a Saturday morning NBC Kids programming block on Telemundo, and now that's Universal Kids. But yeah, only two seasons of this show. And what did you guys think? I mean, have you seen every episode of these? Or
I've seen like 200 times all the episodes. And but that's one thing that I can say is that all the not just Piper, but most of them in between the ages of 2 to 4, they were in love with it because not just that they hear what they hear in my house. Say it in Spanish. Say it in Spanish. A ver, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Cómo se dice? Yo que soy grandma. No, I'm not grandma. I'm abuelita. Mm-hmm. Abuelita. So now they go, abuelita. And, you know, they don't speak Spanish, but they do pick up a lot of the words. And so when I identify myself with Nina.
Yeah.
And, of course, she has short hair. So Piper says, That's not you. You're Awi. She's Nina because she has another grandma that has short hair, white hair. So she calls her, that's Nana. So somehow, yeah. You know, but she's paying attention.
Yeah.
And so as they go, you know, the story begins and all these words continue to come, especially like this one, for example, when they went camping and dad congratulates her in Spanish. Felicidades. Qué lindo. Qué hermoso. And then she understands and she continues, you know, with the story. But they learn something in every episode.
I mean, I will say they do such a great job even in this. These episodes are only 11 minutes, so it's really not a time commitment. You can find them on Peacock streaming service if you want to watch them for free. But it really does this nice kind of blend of these basic Spanish phrases or words and then tells you kind of what they mean within the same sentence on this camping trip.
And with the same story, I mean, they learn what camping, for example, is. Now, you know, you don't have the bathroom right next to it. You have to walk to get to the bathroom. So let's start walking. No, I don't want to. Where am I going to go to the bathroom? Well, that's what camping is about.
Exactly. It's like realistic, you know, situations within camping, which I actually never went camping as a child.
Oh, I remember going camping. And I remember.
Natalie, you went camping.
No, we did not.
Yes,
Natalie. My father hated camping.
I will show you some videos.
Okay, wow. But like when I'm like one, that doesn't count.
I think that does get, well, what I loved about this is that, so this is part, usually each are standalone episodes, but this was like a 3-episode block of her preparing to go camping, the camping, and then the aftermath of the camping trip. So it's like a continuation of a story, but this isn't glamping, it's real camping. And what I did love was the little scene with Nina. She's frightened at first little bit. She's scared because it is foreign to her of like, why are we out here?
Yep.
I want to go back home to my normal bed and my friends and all of this stuff. And I did remember, like, I remember going to like Cub Scout camp or something. And it was like one of the first times away from family even.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're with just regular kids your age. And I remember this one kid, I was bunking with him in this tent and he was bawling because he had never been away from his family before. And I mean, I'm talking sobs. And I was just like,
did it scare you or did you have to like console him?
Actually made me feel good because I was nervous about going camping. And I'm like, well, I'm not as bad as that. Like,
okay.
I'm not like... like sobbing, like the kid was sobbing that he was away from his
family. Were you guys like in like little teepee things?
Like yeah, little teepee tent things, okay. You know, like, and it was, yeah, it was one of the.
On the floor.
Like I was like 7 or 8. The only thing then this is probably too much information, was that, and I know you guys at home probably figured this, but I was a bit of a bedwetter. And I was like, oh no, if I wet the sleeping bag.
You're screwed.
I'm screwed. And then all the kids are going to know I'm a bedwetter and then I'm going to get bullied. And luckily I didn't. So.
Oh my gosh. So maybe that's like what really got you to not wet the bed.
Watching this kid sob. No.
Yeah. Like you being forced into an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that's what kind of is cool about this is that I did really love the little lessons of Nina's world. Or, you know, I love that what Connie said is completely right, is that this is completely foreign to this little girl, but it's important to teach them things because it teaches them how to deal with life in the long run. Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I find it so important that you not only have to take care of your body, but you have to take care of your mind. You have to practice something we like to call self-care. They always say, how well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? I'm actually pretty scared I am going to keep my Corolla my entire life, so I need to make sure I take good care of it. But that's how our brains work, so why don't we treat our brains the same way? Caring for our minds, it has a profound effect on our everyday lives. So it's important for all of us to invest time into keeping our minds healthy. And there are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like reading a good book, listening to this podcast, taking a nap, and BetterHelp online therapy. Now, I have a lot of personal experience with therapy. I used to go to a therapist, but you'd have to get in the car, drive for an hour, do the therapy part, drive back to my work for an hour, and it became kind of just this huge hassle, even though I knew it was great for my mind. Now, with BetterHelp, you can do these sessions online. It's online therapy that offers video, phone, and live chat-only therapy sessions. So you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. Also, this is a huge one, especially in this day and age. It's more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Guys, the first step is always the hardest thing to do. The therapy itself, trust me, you are actually going to get huge benefits out of it. Our listeners right now get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/kidpod. That's KIDPOD. And that's betterhelp.com/kidpod. I'm telling you, make this first step. Check it out for yourself. See if you like it. Something tells me that you will.
Well, my father was pretty wild, and he would take us camping. I do remember we went camping one time, and I had to go find my little place to go to the bathroom. So we were all like four little girls and helping each other. But I do remember that I sat down, and there was a cactus there.
And you sat on the cactus?
I fell backwards, oh, right on top of the cactus. Oh. So we had, you know, my mom had to come and help me take, what do you call those, espinas?
Uh-huh, like the little prickly thing.
You guys are the gringos. You guys should know what those are. the espinas. Oh, the roses have those espinas too.
Thorns.
Thank you.
Yeah. We can't speak English.
Yeah. I'm going to show you what cartoons you have to watch.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a very, you know, traumatizing moment in my life. But we did good.
So all the children's shows usually has a theme song to get in. And Nina's world is no different. But it's what it was like, the sun is coming out. Let's find a new adventure. I liked this song. I've been humming it all morning, actually, since I watched it more this morning. Great theme song.
And it has a little Hispanic kick to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like a little Latin flair.
This show starts where they're actually setting up, and the father is like, let's unload the car, put up the tent, load the firewood, set up the station, the normal kind of role that you usually see with the dads and camping and exploring the park.
Yes, and I will say he has a thick accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they made him have a thick accent and the mom not at all.
Yeah, they probably never deal with that in the show of like his roots, you know. And then they give Nina the job of finding a nice flat spot for the tent.
Right.
If I can go back just quickly to answer the question regarding the accent, remember that this was first televised in Telemundo. So what they were trying to do is that trying to bring in all the little children and the parents, of course, the parents have an accent. I still have an accent. And the children are listening to someone similar.
Exactly.
Mi papá. Yeah. Mi papá has an accent. My abuelita. So they're not outside of, you know, their comfort zone. They feel like, I like this cartoon. Sounds like my family. You know?
Yes, exactly.
So I think that's what happened. And then eventually I think it grew enough for them to take it to other networks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But didn't grow enough because they got canceled.
No, but we need to.
Why would this get canceled?
I think we should do our own.
Yeah. But Connie's
world. I'm going to be Rita Moreno's replacement.
By the way, we're starting a little show called Owie's House.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like a YouTube series.
Good.
Yes. Owie's House.
Because she's a good time, but that'll come in the future. But I feel like what they were missing was almost like Dora the Explorer, right?
Yeah.
I feel like little kids can really understand that. Like, I feel like Piper isn't really able to follow along. Maybe it needed like some words at the bottom, like when they would say abuelita and like maybe have like the star, like go from like abuelita to like what the English word means. I don't know.
I love that I'm an older dude. I'm like, I understood fine. Maybe she needs to pay attention more. Like maybe that, yeah.
And you know how music opens doors?
Yeah.
I mean, and I believe that this show would have been a hit, even like a really big hit, if they would have used more songs.
Right. I think it was just too slow.
Exactly.
It was a little too slow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like for me, I totally duck out.
Did
I was
you
like,
learn Spanish I learned, from listening? Wait, are you I kind
of
did.
I mean, you do learn basic things. So for me, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But I love hearing that it potentially was too slow. What do we think, though, and this seems to be a common theme in all children's shows, I'm realizing, is like her star, the stuffed animal, talking. Like, do we ever get worried that we're making things that can't actually talk?
Does she go back to like her stuffed animal, like, talk to me?
Yeah, do kids get bummed then when their stuffed animals don't talk to them?
Talk about the little Lukey boy. Yeah.
There's a little sloth my daughter's obsessed with, and she called him Lukey boy. But, you know, but I feel like it starts their imagination. I think she'll want to like talk to him. I don't think she expects him to talk back, but I think that makes her want to have dialogue with
her
little
stuffed
animal.
Who did you talk to as a kid? Did you have a favorite? Did she have a favorite stuffed animal? Or
I don't remember having
an imaginary friend. Or
they all had one that I actually kept. But let me tell you, the reason why I think Piper loved this particular pet is because every time she came to my house, it was sitting there, and I'm the one that spoke. Hey, hi. Hi. Hey. Piper. I'm like, hey. Do you? And then I would ask the animal, do you like me? And he would say, no, I don't like you. Well, do you like Piper? Yeah, I love her. So
I mean, that voice is
so. Yeah, it's a really good voice.
As soon as the pet says that, you know, he liked her, she's like, oh, he likes me. He doesn't like you, but he likes
me. Yeah, yeah.
Then that, I mean, you could see her face.
Yeah, she so lit happy. Up. Yes.
And I said, hey, are you going to be nice to me? No, I'm not going to be nice to you. Are you going to be nice to Piper? Yeah.
And she
said, I'm taking it home.
If you don't get voiceover work from this podcast, I think we've all not done our jobs. Well.
I like you guys.
Oh, God.
Let's see here. They go to the bathroom. Even going to the bathroom is going to be an adventure, which that's always been my motto.
Mm-hmm.
Abuelita takes her. They see a deer. And the deer, she asks if it wants to be your friend. And they're like, next time we see a deer, let's be super quiet.
And I feel like the grandma, though, is just so, she's so sweet. She made me feel calm and at ease, didn't she?
Yeah.
Unlike you.
I don't like
it. My mom would have been like, let's go pet it. Let's go.
But no, it's just when they were walking, grandma, abuelita was walking. And I think the little girl wanted to see, she saw the pine cone for the first time.
Yeah.
And then abuelita gave her a lesson why we shouldn't take them. Because some animals eat those. And I think that, you know, Nina, you know, she said, wow.
Nina's very smart. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we meet an owl that's like, hoot, hoot. And I find out that bua means owl, right? That's the word bua, B-U-A for owl?
It's buo.
Bua. Buo.
What is it?
The pronunciation is B-U-O, buo.
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 There you go.
Buo.
I didn't even know that.
Really? You didn't know?
No.
But now you're learning.
I know. But she's like, I see the owl and the owl sees me. Hey, I'm Nina and this is a star. Because the owl supposedly asked who she was as well. But yeah, the abuelita has the most important lesson right here is like it's important to leave things where you found them in the woods,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was great. And then they make a fire, and this was great too because I never heard of spider dogs, the hot dog on the stick that you cut. And
me
then,
neither.
And then so it's like little floppy hot dog
yeah.
things. And she, I mean, Nina loves the spider dogs.
Sounds terrible.
And they taste the best.
I will say any kind of food when you're camping is like automatically better than any other food you've
That's
ever had.
That's true. Right. That's very right. true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, in camping, I don't think you bring ketchup, but I think for sure there's salsa.
But like all the hot dogs on a stick, the s'mores are always.
I feel like s'mores is like the one thing that sticks out.
Well, you're with a chef. I mean, what did you?
By the way, he doesn't eat hot dogs, so he turned me off on hot dogs.
He sounds horrible, by the way. This does not sound.
He's such a bougie man. He won't go near a hot dog. He'd rather starve.
I know. Once you start listing the ingredients, why
exactly?
That's the only reason why I go to the Dodgers games.
Except the Dodger dogs.
That's all I want.
You have to have a hot dog.
They have the nacho and the hats, the blue plastic baseball hat, and they put the nachos in. Dodger nachos I love.
And you know what I have to hide from him? You know, like after a concert and like all the Mexican ladies have their hot dog stands. Caught in LA. You find them everywhere.
After
a concert.
I went to a concert at the Wiltern a couple weeks ago.
I have watery mouth right now.
God,
I woke
onions.
Up the next day and I was like, why is there a yellow stain over? And I was like, did I have a hot dog last night? And I had a hot dog outside of the Wiltern and the mustard spilled on me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I totally ate when I was like, nobody take a picture of me because he will divorce me before he marries me knowing that I ate this.
One thing that people should never forget in a camping, they think they're enjoying the show right now, it's a guitar. They need to bring a guitar. They need to bring maracas.
Music.
They need to bring music and vámonos.
Sabroso. Wait, aren't you? Didn't you used to be a recording artist of some sort?
Yes.
Yes.
You can go ahead, Mom. Boast.
Come on.
I was signed with a record label. Actually, I wrote a song, which people thought I was probably high when I wrote it because it's just very different to all my other songs. But this one, the elephant marries the ants. Okay,
now I think you're high, actually.
Yeah. No, I think it was just, I was thinking of a cartoon where there were no sizes or figures. People, all the animals were supposed to love each other. And I even, when I was on stage and I sang that song, my goodness gracious, all the children came to the front of the stage and they all wanted to go up on stage with me. And I brought a lot of little stuffed animals and toys. They all would go on stage.
How did that song go again?
La fiesta de animalitos, vengan todos a bailar. Esta cumbia suavecita, vamos todos a bailar. Porque el gato y la pulga se van a casar. I mean, da 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 da.
That's well, right.
This is the first recording artist we've ever had on.
By the way, she's gonna get more gigs after this than you and I put together.
But just to confirm, though, it's a song about elephants and ants.
But all different types of animals. But she matched them like the biggest animal with like the little one.
The spider and the mosquito fell in love.
Right.
And the elephant and maybe the cat and this and that. I mean, the horse with the pig.
I mean, it's a lot of,
you name it.
I need a music video of this. This needs to be a cartoon. My goodness. Wow. Can I find this on Spotify?
I need this to be
streaming somewhere.
But actually, it was a very, very cute thing to do. And I would, now that I'm an abuelita, I would love to continue doing it.
We'll have to put that on Aoi's house.
There we go.
Yes.
One of Nina's gifts, actually, is that she is able to visualize scenarios she'd like to see, which is kind of like manifestation, which we have a note here as Nina read The Secret. I remember this about 12 years ago, especially in Los Angeles, and I was in acting classes, and we always had to make vision boards.
Yes.
Because that would be secreting things of like what you want to manifest in your life. So if you wanted a big house, you'd cut a thing out of the magazine and put it up there. Did you guys make vision boards ever?
I still do.
See, that's what I feel like, for dudes can't like make vision boards after a certain age, I feel.
Not physically. Like, I don't cut things out, but I definitely have like things written down. And I think as long as you're constantly visualizing it in your head and in your mind, I feel like that is equivalent to a physical thing. Because if I look at my list every single day and I can visualize it of what that's going to, you know, where my career is going, where I'm going to be living, what does my family look like, all those things, I feel like you got to just every single day. All the time.
When do you teach your kids about like manifesting things in your life? Like, these are like, it's one thing to teach your kids about going to the bathroom and these kind of tactile things that you do to get through life. But when do you start teaching your kids about concepts about, you know, bettering themselves or, you know, trying to reach for the stars? Like, when did those things start coming
into play? That's a great question for Natalie. Beautiful.
I feel like even now, like I tell her all the time, I go, you know that you can be anything you want to be. And then she'll like understand
it didn't work for you, mommy. Yeah,
exactly. But it's like, if you want to be a doctor, do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to be? And she totally understands that. But I think it's just telling them now, hey, you can do anything you want. You know, anything. You're going to be kind, and you got to instill those things now.
Yeah, that's what I like. And can you see for both of you guys? Can you see when? Like, have there been experiences where you watch your kids understand something that you've taught them? Like, oh, she gets that now. Like, I see that she gets that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen it more with my grandkids than with my children.
Yeah.
That's because it's been so many. I'm not saying that you're old, Natalie, but I'm saying it's
the biggest. By the way, you're
not
older.
Not saying you're young either.
or maybe that I'm trying. I'm getting a little Alzheimer's. either one of the two. No. But I mean, I think that listen, if children can browse through a cell phone and they know how to go from this to that, they can learn anything.
Yeah.
Let's not underestimate their age. These kids are very, very, very smart.
Yeah, they're absorbing at just a very, very high rate. And I feel like they are.
And she's telling me, she's telling me, come, sit, watch. Now she's teaching me what to watch. And now she's telling me, wait, something good is coming. Wait, something is coming. No, don't go, Aoi. Don't go, Aoi. They call me Aoi. No, don't go. It's coming. It's scary. Now you know, the kids are teaching us.
No, I know. It's weird to worry about like my niece and nephew and then at the same time realize like my nephew pretty much like knows how to hack into things. Like he'll show me how to like use the YouTube algorithm for this or that. And I'm like, why am I worried about how he's going to do? He already knows more than I do about technology, about these things that I'm just, I still feel like I have two left feet with. But visualization for kids, I found very interesting, or just this concept that Nina likes to manifest things in a childlike way. And then another huge lesson comes towards the end of it when Nina was getting homesick and the abuelita tells her to look up at the moon because it's the same moon her friends she hasn't seen in years are looking back in Mexico
at. That was so sweet.
I thought that was really
so sweet.
There was like an 80s cartoon with like somewhere out there beneath the na-na-na sun.
Oh, it's your turn. It's your turn.
I think it was like Five Will Go, like an American Tale. Five Will Go. Somewhere out there beneath the pale moonlight. It was about a song where we're all looking at the same moon, basically. But anyway, I would love that concept that we do really all, no matter where you are, you share a moon or a star.
The story behind it, I think it's very, very good, especially because if we have a family with abuelita, the dad has an accent, and then you already know if it's in Telemundo, they're probably broadcasting it to many immigrants. So what happens there is that they probably left families, and I'm talking now just Hispanics. I'm talking everyone in America has some family member somewhere out there, it's the same moon.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful message there that, hey, we're all watching the same and we can maybe communicate through the moon.
And there's a song in Spanish called Bajo la Misma Luna.
Yeah.
Oh, don't cry. I know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Because we all have someone.
Yeah.
Somebody in the world.
I know.
That's North America.
Your mom's a star. Wow.
Yeah, she really is, right?
Wow. I just really love that concept.
Yeah.
I need a Kevin Hart.
We got our first cry on the.
I know. I my God.
The bet was on me that I would be the first to cry on this show.
You were the one that brought it up. I have one grandson who was actually very, very young during the time when they were. Picking a president for the United States. So now that he's a little older, I tried speaking to him about something and he talks about politics. And he's only like 10 years old. And he's like, oh yeah, because right now, Awi, you need to know that when you're talking to people, you need to please, would you do me a favor? Can you please talk about Trump and this is the way that I think he shouldn't run? And he's like, what are you talking about? I thought he was supposed to talk to me about
what? How did that segue?
I think it was like, kid shows and instead of like watching like these kind of even like they're talking politics? About politics.
Yeah, because they grew during the time of pandemic.
Yeah.
They became,
Well, that's interesting.
You're saying that they're watching more like just regular.
They are.
Well, have there been any cartoons yet that have like vaguely talked about pandemic or vaguely talked about these experiences of isolating and things that they've had to go through these last couple of years? Has there been?
Because parents were involved with TV, just watching the news. I'm talking about myself. I was living with one of my daughters, and that's all she wanted to see. And the kids were little. They wanted to see cartoons. They wanted to see maybe something else, but the parents were so involved in politics or involved in the pandemic and whatever we were going through. But now, I think that people should begin to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And teach the children that, yes, politics will always be there, but the children will only be children for a very short time.
Or we do a pandemic cartoon where we have like a talking hand sanitizer bottle.
I was just going to say, I just
put it on your hands. I'm ready to clean up.
Yeah. I'm ready to cover my mouth again. Yeah.
I'm a mask. Put it on. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No, but that is, I mean, that's such an interesting kind of concept though to think about of like then going back to how life was, or I mean, I guess we're in a new normal now, but going back to these kind of simple lessons of family and travel and camping and all of these things that, these kids that are they're young, their life experience has been completely different these last couple of years.
I think adults should also go into the children's world. They should detach a little bit of a certain percentage of their days with anything that they watch on TV and just make sure that the children are our first priority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, do you agree now?
I agree.
Should your child be your first priority?
No, they should never be the first priority. Are you kidding? This should be the last thing you worry about. No, absolutely. I agree. We have to just protect them, right? And so, and what they're, like I said, they're absorbing everything. So if you're constantly watching the news, if you're constantly, you know, on your phone or whatever it is you're doing, they're picking up on that.
Kids are very smart. And just by watching the news, especially now on Telemundo, they have news for children. Do you know that?
No.
At 4 o'clock p.m., now they have news for children, because I know that they've been watching and they have questions about Ukraine. They have questions about schools, you know,
shootings. Yeah, of course.
So they're absorbing all that, which is horrible.
I can't even imagine.
Horrible.
Yeah.
So now, they're explaining it to the kids.
Now they're explaining it to the children in their own war, in their own way. And I think all the networks should probably pick up on news for children.
Well, that's what, you know, my dad, who's now a grandfather, always, you know, and you had said this concept earlier of, you know, when you have your kids, it opens up your heart a lot more and you kind of see the world, or you want the world to be a better place. But then when you have grandkids on top of that, it even, you know, it's like you almost start getting jaded about the world as your kids get older. But then you have the grandkids and it almost is a new lease on the world, right, again, of like seeing it through their eyes and wanting something better, or rewatching these things. And my dad will always say, he's a much better grandfather, he thinks, than he ever was a father, because right, it's that, you know, now it really is road tested on, you know, like this worked on yeah, Ryan, or this worked on my sister Kara, and, you know, almost perfecting these lessons, or being able to, like, you know, my dad actually loves watching kid shows because yeah, it's like, yeah, it's not even my kid. I just got to enjoy it. It's funny.
Natalie,
you know,
what do I do for
and
relaxation?
That's what I was telling him, because that's when I was like, is he single? Because my mom will literally just put on kid shows.
Yep.
And she'll just watch it.
Oh, he likes it. Like, he's like, he has like in no the background. Problem. He has yeah, no problem. He's like,
it
yeah,
makes her happy.
Sometimes when the children leave and I continue watching the cartoons.
Okay, that's disturbing though a little bit. No,
well, if I change channels and I'm going to see shootings and this and that and terrible
that's true
things,
I mean, that
I go
true,
back to my little world. Of that's
your
like one.
Shows.
Always world. Always show.
Well, your other, I know we're wrapping up here. But, well, so Piper, obviously, your daughter, so she knows the concept of Spanish as another
totally
language, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And do you remember the first time she was like, wait, there's a whole nother language? Because kids, like, you know, we would have like pig Latin when we were kids,
yeah,
or like you
yeah,
create your own language that wasn't a real language at all.
Mm-hmm.
But like, do you remember when she understood that? Like,
I feel like you've always sort of spoken Spanish to her. So I think it's just always been something that she's been around. And we always speak Spanish, especially when we want to talk shit, we'll speak Spanish. So she's always been around it. We married all white men. Right. So anytime us girls get together and we want to say something, we say it in Spanish.
God,
so none of the kids know. No
just,
one knows.
Just yesterday, last night, I asked her, ¿cuántos años tienes? She goes, 2.5.
She's always understood the concept of Spanish, and she's understanding a little bit, right? We ask her how old she is, what's her name. So she's picking up on it. You have to really be consistent with when it comes to a language. And so I'm really bad at that, because although Spanish was my first language, I learned English at school and I would speak Spanish at home. And then my parents got a divorce and then I completely lost my Spanish. But I thankfully got it back once I was like visiting my mom more often. And so I slowly started to speak it again. So now we'll speak it with each other. But, you know, I married a white guy, so he doesn't speak it. So it's I feel like had I not had them, I would have absolutely lost it.
Yeah.
I've been in this country for 50 years, 50, half a century. And, you know, you still have your accent. And I'm even texting my daughters in Spanish. And I want them to learn how to, you know, write it and read it. And I think now that they're professionals, and how the Spanish language has opened doors for them in different kind of jobs that they have, I am super, super proud of myself.
That's amazing.
Bravo, Leona. Bravo, Tommy.
She's her own cheerleader.
Hey.
So would we recommend this? I guess, you know, would this make me want to have children?
Yes. That's at the end of every episode,
I don't have
Mom.
Children. So would this make me? I got to tell you, yeah. Like for me, this is almost, I then was picturing like, oh, it would be cool to take a daughter out camping, or like I would actually enjoy doing something like this. But for me, I had those family fantasies that I think this kind of played into a lot. And I mean, so for me, I completely liked this. I mean, it wasn't hysterical. It wasn't like, I don't think there was a lot of inside jokes for family. I mean, not that much as we saw with like Bluey maybe. But for me, it was completely enjoyable. It was, I was able to get through it easily, watch it again easily.
Natalie, I think the message that you guys are going to receive is probably women looking for a daddy.
I was just going to say, the question is.
Hey, call into the hotline if you'd like to go on a special.
To date Mr. Ryan Bailey. The question is, does it make you want to marry a Latina woman so that your kids speak Spanish?
I mean, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, of course. Well, listen, I mean, I would think that would be amazing because then you would actually be able to learn a skill.
Like, yeah,
that's... It's like I wouldn't even take the Babbel course anymore. I could just date somebody that could teach me.
I know.
No, I love that I'm learning probably more lessons than kids do because you said your daughter watches this and didn't really like it or didn't?
No, she watches it. Well, she does watch it.
But she said it might be hard to follow?
No, I feel like, no, I mean, because you're the one that watches it with her most of the time. But she's like playing with other things, but then she's watching, right?
She's watching. That's one of the many because I have many and I'm going to bring you more.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Here we go.
I'm sure you'll be a returning guest.
Promise you.
So, yeah. By the way, if Natalie can ever make it, I guess you're the fill-in.
What's your mom's name?
Becky. Becky Bailey.
Becky has big shoes to fill.
Yeah, she really does. My mom knows no languages, so this is like already.
I can't wait to talk to her.
And she can't sing, and she there's so many things she can't do.
You better get ready.
Oh, stop. Poor Becky.
Hey, she's listening.
Becky.
I'm sure that she's got something
up her sleeve.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. As long as she doesn't tell more stories about the bedwetting. So I recommend this, I guess, to all you non-parents out there. I do.
And I'm sad that it was already discontinued. But I feel like, you know, if you want to go and find something that, you know, adds a little bit of that Spanish flavor, then I feel like,
the good thing about nowadays with this technology, when you're watching that particular episode or cartoon, on the bottom, it says, if you like this, you might like this.
That's what streaming services do now.
Are you tired of this one? Okay, don't worry about it. I go to the bottom and then I pick the next one.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's what boggles me about just, I mean, I was not aware of how many children's shows there are. Like, I thought, okay, there's just got to be a handful. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
You know what? Just because of this particular show, which, by the way, congratulations. I'm in love with what I'm seeing and learning from this particular episodes and things that you guys are doing. But it just actually opened the door. I started searching for more shows because I was invited to this beautiful show and I discovered many more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think parents think that there's only like what, 3 or 4 shows out there? And it's like there's so many and there's so many good educational ones.
I'm done with Bloopy. What do you call it? That Bloopy?
Bluey?
Booba?
Booba?
No.
Which one?
The one that...
Bluey.
I'm done with that. I cannot take it that anymore.
I feel like Ryan's not done with it. I think Ryan watches that when he's not watching Housewives or any reality show.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, that's almost frustrating to me.
Because that one was a good humor. That one had funny moments.
I watch all of these reality shows and all these shows, and then I'm like, oh my... And there's so many of all of those. And then I'm like, kid show. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many kid shows
I know.
It's like you'll never get to the end of any of that stuff.
Yes.
But we want to know what you guys are watching out there. And if you guys have watched this show with your kids, what your kids think, you can always leave us a voicemail. Remember at 540-642-0035. Any final thoughts, Connie, our guest, do you have any final thoughts, I guess, about any? I know you just said a really nice compliment, but about being a grandmother for the other abuelitas out there.
I think that just learning a second language, it doesn't matter what part of the world you are from. I think it's just never underestimate your you know, what you can teach your little ones. And just be persistent because they will pick it up. I know grandparents are frustrated sometimes because they can communicate with their grandchildren, even though they came from Japan or India, whatever other countries. And it's sad to know that I can't even talk to my grandkids because they don't understand. Well, start speaking to them and make sure that they know that you love them and that they will pick up the second language. Natalie, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I love you.
And I'm proud of her because look where she's at right now.
I know. With you. I know.
By the way, I wouldn't be here without you. So.
Natalie, and I know that if he was single,
on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry.
If Natalie,
now our guy's not going to let her do the show anymore because she's got to.
If Natalie was single, and,
there you go. Okay, well, this is what the kids are watching, and I'm completely red faced.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. Un saludo para toda nuestra gente que está escuchando.
Love you, Mom.
I love you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of What the Kids Are Watching. Follow us on Instagram at What the Kids Are Watching and subscribe on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And hey, what are your kids watching? Send us a DM on Instagram or leave us a voicemail at 540-642-0035 with your stories and opinions. We might just share it on the show. We'll see you next week.